Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 162. Nearly forgot. This is a special episode. About time we've done one. We haven't done a special for a while. And a special edition of you won't get this one. But in the meantime, I'd like to introduce Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
Hello.
Matthew,
no quote this week.
No. Matthew Kressel.
We play the contest again, Time Lord.
And Toby Haydoke. What would that be? Sorry, Toby. I was going to do some mispronunciations that all the other podcasts seem to like to do.
Yeah, all of them. And even a friend of mine who I did a Who's Round with. It was the only time Who's Round has been mentioned on BBC Radio. And he went, yeah, Toby Adoki's doing this. I don't know how to say my name.
Well, surely they're just doing that to wind you up. But the Doctor Who podcast are renowned for mispronouncing loads of things. In fact, I think they actually wrote to Hyde, apparently. They advised Neil Cross on how to pronounce Metabilis 3.
Metabilis 3, yes.
I have a letter, an email actually. I just wanted to make it sound like an old fangled thing, from somebody called Mary Lang, who allegedly is a co-presenter on this show, but had to do real life things today, like work in a hospital. And she says, Adam, if you get this in time, please ask Toby when we might be seeing the next book of his and Robert Shearman's efforts running through corridors.
Oh, if I had a pound for every time I've been asked that question. And it's a perfectly reasonable question to ask.
Yes.
The answer is I don't know, but I'll tell you for why, and you might be able to guess an ETA, because what happened was we did it, and we did it in the year that we did it in, but it was very much bashed out. And then when we were preparing for publication, we went through it and took out bits where we'd repeated each other, or I read sentences that I'd written that were not in the English language, or read jokes that I'd written that weren't funny. And so we sort of ironed them out and changed a few things. And, oh, as I recall this, Glyn Jones has just come online. Did you know? The writer of the Space Museum. There's a fact. It's just popped up on my Skype.
Name dropper.
And then, so when the first one was out, that all went fine. But I was doing that in the Fringe when it was sort of pieced together. And I wasn't over the moon about certain aspects of it. So when it was reprinted, certain sort of typos and things that had crept in were ironed out. And I had to do quite a lot of hard work on that to get it up to.
Yeah, it's the trouble with this hard work you have to do in regards to writing.
What I wanted it to be like. And so we didn't want to do that again. And so Lars, who's a very nice chap, the editor, instigated a new way of doing it. But that involved me doing a lot of work and Rob doing a lot of work, and oftentimes us doing it together. And Rob got very busy, and then when he stopped being very, very busy, I was doing another Edinburgh show or something. So it took us a while to get together, and I've now done all of my stuff for Volume 2. I'm actually working on Volume 3 so that we're ahead, but Rob has been absolutely chock-a-block, so it's in his hands. And I know that he's working on it, but I know that he's sort of burning the candle at various ends and blowtorching it in the middle. Mm. So that's why there's been a hold-up. It's not anything sort of scary or that it's not going to happen or anything like that. It's just that we'd like it to be right. And,
yes.
That involves us just scrutinising it a little bit more than we did the first print run of Volume 1.
Okay, well, that's fair enough.
So sorry, Mary, but thanks for asking, because we've been beaten by the wife in space who started after us, who are wonderful, but we're doing different. But yeah, and then I suppose once we've finished, I've mentioned that because of the release date, it might be worth us, when we do the last volume, actually just getting together for 3 weeks and doing the whole of the Matt Smith era. And maybe Galaxy 4-3 and Underwater Menace 2, just to compare what it's like watching them with listening to them.
Yeah. Excellent.
Can I jump in with a quick question?
Hmm.
I've noticed recently you are working on a book about the various Quatermass serials.
Yeah, Yeah, I am. I'm not working on it as much as I should have been recently, but I've just been gathering a load of stuff together this morning, actually, yes.
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I love Quatermass, and when I saw Quatermass in the Pit when it was released on video in about 1988 or something, Quatermass had already been spoken of in hallowed terms in my household by my elder brothers and things, and I remember seeing, you know, a trailer for Quatermass in the Pit, the film made at night, and that was certainly something I wasn't able to stay up and watch, and if Quatermass was this, you know, gloriously spooky thing that I never watched. And then I collected, you know, loads of archive telly on video, and a lot of it was frankly a bit disappointing to my young eyes because of production values and things like that I've since grown out of worrying about. But Quatermass surprised me in that it was actually better than I thought it would be. And I was astonished by how good it was and how well put together it was and how rich and complex and intelligent it was, as well as being just very good popular entertainment and scary and sci-fi. And my mum walked in at one point and she went, "Oh, God, I've seen this. This is where the gravel moves." And I went, "Oh, you won't. This was on in 1959. You're probably remembering Doomwatch or something." And literally 2 seconds later, he falls to the ground and the gravel starts moving. And my mum's not a science fiction fan by any stretch of the imagination. And I just thought, God, if she's remembered that 35 years later or whatever, this is powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I spent my teenage years when most of my contemporaries were drinking Thunderbird, smoking fags and kissing each other, and writing to anyone that was still alive from Quatermass. And I have a file of about 50 or 60 different letters, interviews, et cetera, with people, many of whom, most of whom sadly are now dead, that I've never used because there was deemed to be no market for a book in those days of the type I'd got in mind. And so they just sort of sat on a shelf, and I felt rather guilty that these people had given their time and their stuff hadn't been used. And then I was approached by a publisher last year who said, "Oh, we'll do it." And they've given me a pretty free rein and haven't given me a deadline, which is really stupid of them, because that means it will probably come out in about 2074.
Cool.
I'm a big Quatermass fan. I actually run a Quatermass fan group on Facebook, so I just wanted to ask you about that while we had you here.
Yeah.
I think I like that page or something, don't I? Or do I?
I think you are. It's called the Quatermass Appreciation Society, I think is what it's called.
Yeah. Yes, I've clicked the button that means that I'm there somehow. Yes.
Well, I didn't know about it. I'm going to go right there.
Yeah, I set it up. I'm actually in the process now of attempting a fan audio remake of Quatermass Experiment that hopefully won't get me sued.
Excellent. Well, it's, it might be out of copyright, possibly. You never know. Anyway, right, before we move on to this week's edition, or this special edition of You Won't Get This One, I have to ask, Toby, what do you think of the series so far? Not our series, not the 20 Mogolite podcast. I mean Doctor Who, obviously.
I'm enjoying it. I have to say I've enjoyed... I liked the 5 episodes last year. I don't know whether this is a season or 2 seasons. Well, I liked the 5 episodes last year. I thought they were the most consistent run of episodes since Matt Smith had come back. And I've enjoyed this year. I thought the first episode was great. And, the World Wide Web of Fear idea is a particularly clever.
Yes,
that was very smart. Celia Imrie, and it was a classic sort of zip 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 season opener. Even though it's actually a halfway through. Bless the rings of a carton. It's going to be the sort of Savages and Planet of Fire of the Matt Smith era. I don't think anybody's going to remember it in about 10 years' time. I thought it was
Marmite. It's a Marmite episode.
I thought it was quite sweet. I can understand why people didn't like it, but what I love about Doctor Who is it's such a rich mosaic.
Yes.
There is the space for an episode that's got a lot of singing, and and it was peculiar. But I didn't mind, because I thought it was trying to do something different, and I liked, there are a lot of good sci-fi concepts like the emotionally charged currency and things like that. I think anything that tries to do something science fiction-y that creates its own world is worth our time. So I will cherish it, even though I might not ever watch it again.
Yeah, exactly. I cherish all Doctor Who, even the rubbish ones.
But yeah, and I'm not. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was offbeat and peculiar. And for that, I'm a bit. I like the underdog. You know, if it's the FA Cup final, I'll always support the, you know, the minnows over the favourites.
Yes.
Cold War. I enjoyed very much the setting. It was really nicely directed. I'm a sucker for Liam Cunningham and David Warner and Ice Warriors and Mark Gatiss. And I love the submarine setting and all of that. Although I have to say I don't see the need, I don't know why we need to see the face. I do think, you know, we've now seen what the Dalek looks like inside, we've seen the face. I sometimes think, no, we don't always have to have the money shot. Why can't we just imagine?
Mm.
It's as if it's going, and now we're going to show you a thing. It's like, well, why? Why constantly sort of reward us with something that actually would probably be more rewarding if we were able to fester it, let it fester and digest and sort of be fertilised in our own imagination.
Yeah, this is right. How Big Finish works.
I loved Hyde. I mean, I like Sapphire and Steel, and I like Stone Tape. And I thought the casting of Dougray Scott was a very good move. I thought it was beautifully directed. I like the monster sort of out of phase, and I love the sort of colour palette of the forest. I thought there was a lot packed in. I remember thinking this is going to have to end soon, and then another sort of plot strand appeared. So I thought that was a really good adventure hide. I really enjoyed it, and I have to say Matt Smith and Gemma Louise Coleman are my favourite Doctor and companion combination since the series returned. I think they're both fabulous. And actually, whatever else about the Rings of Akaten that you might like or dislike, Matt Smith's performance in that is his ability to be this young man in an old man's body is superb.
It was. Brilliant. It is. Right then, thank you, Toby. So it's now time for this special edition of You Won't Get This One. A random selection of questions from my forthcoming quiz book about Doctor Who, which I'm still writing, so it could be quite a long time before it actually comes out. And it has been said that these questions are a little bit too difficult. So we've got, in my view, the oracle of Doctor Who knowledge, or one of them, or probably the best one I know, Toby Haydock, to see how he challenges himself against these ridiculously hard questions. Hello, Toby.
Hello, can I just say, I have never claimed to be an expert on Doctor Who.
I don't think you have.
I did a show about Doctor Who in which, as a joke, I showed that I could name all the actors from an episode or that I knew the CVs of certain actors that have been Doctor Who.
Okay.
To highlight the geekiness. And as a result of that, I got asked to do a DB Geek commentary and then got asked to do a few more. But I've never claimed to be an expert.
Okay, well, if you win this competition, you'll be proven to be an expert. If not, then you won't have any dirt on your face at all. It'll be just the fact that people are right, the questions are too hard. However, I'm not changing them. And of course, we've got, as a team, representing the 20 Megabyte Podcast, Matthew and Kirby.
Hello.
Hello again.
So let's crack on. The first question will go to Toby. Are you ready, Toby, for this?
Yes.
You've been waiting for this so long.
What? You texted me when I was drunk, and I went, yeah.
Question number one, for Toby.
Generous.
What was the Master's name when he was in disguise in the Fifth Doctor story, Time Flight?
Khalid.
Correct. You see?
Well, that's all right.
I knew that one.
Oh, you wouldn't know.
I did, because I've never seen Time Flight. I've been avoiding it.
Yeah, that's probably wise.
I don't think it's quite as bad as his reputation suggests.
That's all right. Special effects aren't brilliant. It's all right. Just to let you know, Toby, if you get your question right, then you get your 2 points. If you have to pass it over, then it goes down to 1 point. I should have mentioned that at the beginning, but hey-ho. And also, I think, going back to the previous question, the name that he was Khalid, like you say, but it's very close to Khalid. The second question is for my team of Matthew and Kirby. Are you ready?
I suppose.
Good.
Indeed.
This is for you lot then, Kirby and Matthew. Okay. It is, in the third Doctor story, Colony in Space, what does IMC stand for?
Interplanetary Mining Corporation.
Here's the correct answer. Toby! Mm. In the 11th Doctor story, Cold War, what does the Doctor say when he steps out of the TARDIS at the beginning of the story?
Oh. Submarines are cool.
No. So it goes over to Kirby and Matthew for a point.
Repeat the question.
In the 11th Doctor story, Cold War, what does the Doctor say when he steps out of the TARDIS at the beginning of the story?
Viva Las Vegas.
Here's the correct answer.
Ah.
Yes.
Right then, so. This one then is for Matthew and Kirby. In the 10th Doctor story, the Runaway Bride, who owns H.C. Clements?
Torchwood.
He's near enough.
Torchwood Institute.
Is correct. Toby.
Yeah.
In the 5th Doctor story, the Caves of Androzani, who was in charge of the troops sent to force Shara's Jek to leave?
General Chelak.
Is the correct answer. Cool, we're getting some points notched up now. It doesn't normally happen on this show. and we'll have a score check after this question for Kirby and Matthew. What was the name of the man Susan fell in love with in the first Doctor story, The Dalek Invasion of Earth? That's be his full name rather than just his surname.
David Campbell?
Is the correct answer.
You know, there's a bit of trivia. I think it's in the novelisation of The Crusade, Doctor and the Crusaders, that there's a sort of recap in, you know, prologue, and it describes that Susan had left the TARDIS, and he changes the name of David Campbell to David Cameron, which obviously at the time wouldn't have meant all that much, but the Susan and David Cameron coalition is something that it would be very interesting to see.
Yes, I'm so glad I asked that question. Anyway, right. at the scores at the moment are in last place with 4 points, Toby, but in front with 7 points, it's the team of Matthew and Kirby. But maybe I should have split them up. I don't know. But anyway.
It's mostly Matthew at this point.
So, Toby, this question is for you. I hope I've written it correctly. What was the name of Vaughan's security chief in the second Doctor story, The Invasion?
Hacker.
Is the correct answer. And Matthew and Kirby, who wrote the 10th Doctor story, Planet of the Ood? No, it wasn't
I wrote a thing about this story for a book. Why can't I remember this?
I don't know. But I'm the one supposed to be answering the questions. Or asking them, even. Well, it's got to be a time limit. I'm going to have to do the old countdown clock in a minute. Sorry?
I can jump in.
Oh, Toby's jumping in.
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Keith Temple.
Here's the correct
answer.
So, Toby.
Yes.
In the second Doctor story, The Web of Fear, the TARDIS lands at the entrance of what London Underground station?
Covent Garden.
Is the correct answer. Well done. So this next question goes to Toby. Oh, actually, no. That was your question, wasn't it? I do apologise. Yeah. Right. It goes to Matthew and Kirby. Let's hope I've got this one right. In the 10th Doctor story, Turn Left, who was the only survivor of the Royal Hope Hospital's trip to and from the moon?
What's that? That guy's name.
I'll accept just his first name. I'm going to be quite generous. I'll accept just his first name.
I can see him in my mind.
Yeah.
I can hear him.
Can you?
What's his name?
I have the face, I have the voice, I don't have the name.
Right, time's up. Come on, Toby, can you answer this one?
Is it Dr. Oliver Morgenstern?
It is 100% right.
Ah.
My goodness, I didn't have the word doctor down there. I'm impressed. Right. So, Toby, your question. What is the title of the sequel that William Shakespeare announces he is going to write in the 10th Doctor story, The Shakespeare Code?
Love's Labour's One?
Here's the correct answer. Right, Matthew and Kirby. Who played Jamie in the second Doctor story, The Mind Robber, while Fraser Hines was ill?
Hamish Wilson?
Here's the correct answer. Right. Toby.
With whom I've just recorded an interview for Who's Round.
Cool.
Lovely man.
I really enjoy Who's Round. Those are great.
Good. Well, there's plenty more to come.
Good.
I'm caught up through episode 10 at the moment. I'm catching up on the most recent episodes.
Well, I'm editing episode 37, so...
Excellent.
There's plenty to come.
Before we go on to Toby's question, I can now... Score update. In last place, with 9 points, is Matthew and Kirby. But in the lead, with 13 points, is Toby Haydoke. Whose question it is now?
Yes, okay.
What was the first Doctor Who story to feature actress Jean Marsh?
The Crusade.
Is the correct answer. Matthew and Kirby. Oh, it's all gone quiet. Right.
Waiting for you to ask the question, sir.
In the first Doctor story, The Smugglers, what is the name of the ship that the kidnapped Doctor is taken to?
Go ahead, Matthew. I have no idea.
This is one of the few stories I haven't heard or seen yet.
So is that going to be a I don't know?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Toby?
Is it the Albatross?
Is near enough. It's a black albatross.
Albatross.
Yes.
Okay, this is Toby's question. What was the first Doctor Who story to feature actor Bernard Holly?
Oh, Tomb of the Cybermen.
Is the correct answer.
I've also done a Who's Around with him. He's also lovely.
Ooh.
What, he used to be in something else, didn't he?
Zed Cars.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
Reese is online.
Oh, he's always late, isn't he? Grief. Okay, well, as you're lagging behind, I can add him to your team if I can find him. see if he can join us. He's always late. I do apologise, Toby. Reese Parton. Might as well just call him Late Parton. I don't even know if he's on. Oh, he is here. Hello, Reese.
Hello.
Are you here to join in the quiz?
Yes, I guess so.
Don't be too enthusiastic about it.
Well, I've only just got home from Sydney, so...
No. He's always got some sort of excuse. Toby, Reese, Toby.
Hello, Reese.
Hello, Toby.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
He's just turned 18, so he's probably out in the pub, actually.
Good. Why are you
So, Reese, I can tell you at the moment, while you join the 20 megabyte team, which is currently lagging behind quite badly, it's Toby 18, Matthew, Kirby, and now Reese 9. And is it not your question, Matthew, Kirby, Reese?
It is.
Right,
it
is. Okay. And this is that question. What is the name of the couple that kidnapped Martha in the 10th Doctor story, Gridlock? Any of you can chime in. Today, be nice.
I know she was from Being Human, but
that helps. Okay, chirp, nobody? Chirp. Pardon?
Chirp.
Okay, well, let's move over to Toby. Do you know the answer to this question?
Oh, I could tell you the actors.
Oh, dear.
hang on. It's Lenora Critchlow, Travis Oliver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that.
Is he Milo?
Yes.
Milo and... Why is it I know the actors? I don't know the names of the characters. Milo.
What's that suspicious tapping noise I can hear?
Not at my end.
Not at my end.
Well, I'm sorry. Time's up. It's Milo and Sheen. But
Milo and somebody.
Sheen. Milo and Sheen. Yes. Mm. Okay, it's your question anyway, Toby.
Cool.
What was the name of the shimmering aliens in the fourth Doctor story, The Invasion of Time?
Oh, the Vardens!
Is the correct answer. The 20 megabyte team, because I can't be bothered saying Matthew Kirby Reese. Is your question? What is the name of the device that Martha is instructed to use in the event of failure to contact the Doctor in the story?
Oscar stole it.
Pardon?
Key.
Didn't even finish the question. 2 points. Racing through him now. Toby.
Yeah.
What does the coach crash into, causing it to crash land in Wales in the Seventh Doctor story? That wonderful and brilliant, according to me, Seventh Doctor story, Delta and the Bannermen.
What does it crash into? It crashes into a satellite. And it didn't have a name, did it, Matthew, I don't think?
Not that I can remember. No. Not
is the correct remember. Answer. Okay. I'm not going to be too specific. Right.
No, because it's being trucked by Hawk and Weissman. They're Americans, and it's theirs.
Yes, of
course. I love that story, Delta and the Bannermen. Other people don't like it, I love
so
it.
So do I. I think we've already established how much
we
love it.
It is my least favourite Seventh Doctor story, and he is my favourite Doctor.
What? You're saying you like Time and the Rani more than Delta and the Bannermen? How absurd.
If you sat me down and tied me to a chair and threatened to waterboard me if I didn't pick one of the
I think
two,
that might just happen, Matthew.
I would pick Time and the Rani.
Deary me. Okay, next question goes to the 20 Megabyte team. And it's this. What was the name of the ship featured in the 11th Doctor story, Curse of the Black Spot? Notice I got the title right there, Kirby. Go on then.
Curse
What's
of
the name of the
spot.
Ship?
Yes.
There's three of you there. Of course, somebody must know the name of the ship.
Kirby?
I've only seen the episode once.
You hate the episode so much that you've forgotten the name of the ship, Kirby.
Yes.
How about you, Reese?
No,
nobody knows. Okay, Toby, do you know the name of the ship in Curse
of
the Black?
Oh no, it's Captain Avery's ship, but is it? It's the they've got a woman's name. No, nothing.
It's the Fancy.
Fancy.
I don't remember that at all, and I've seen it many, many times.
Well, I do apologise for that.
Well done.
Next question is for Toby. What was the name of the leading human woman who came out of hibernation in the Fourth Doctor story, The Ark in Space?
Vyra.
There's the correct answer. And we're drawing to a close now, so you can all breathe a sigh of relief. I daren't read out the scores, because it doesn't make very good reading for my team. whose question this one is? What Fourth Doctor story featured a criminal called... God, I can't even say that. Kasser of Diplos. Oh, God, is everybody still there? I hope I've pronounced that correctly.
And I hope that was a rattling sound, not typing, I heard.
There was a rattling sound. Fortunately, not the sound of Twiglets being eaten.
Tic-tacs.
Oh, it's tic-tacs. So, is that you don't know the answer to that, then, 20 Megabyte team?
I can throw out a guess if nobody else has one. Nightmare of Eden?
Incorrect, Toby.
No, it's the Stones of Blood.
It is.
Oh!
Oh!
Not many left now. Toby, this is your question. What was the first Doctor Who adventure to have new episodes transmitted in the 1980s?
Oh, that's a good question. It was the Horns of Nymon.
Episodes 3 and 4 is the correct answer.
I only know that because when we were doing Running Through Corridors, we did, because we're preparing the second volume, we did harbour the idea of stopping after episode 2 of The Horns of Nymon, because strictly speaking, it's that volume is the 70s. So we should have stopped at the end of episode 2, but we didn't. We went all the way.
Of course, Shada should have been the first Doctor Who, full Doctor Who story to have been broadcast in the 80s.
Yeah.
Next question, and we're coming to an end now. I will tell you the scores after the next one, but please don't get too upset, 20 Megabyte team. Alright, this is for the 20 Megabyte team. The Seventh Doctor story, Time and the Rani, actors Donald Pickering and Wanda Ventham had previously appeared together in what Second Doctor story?
The Faceless Ones?
Is the correct answer. That's more like it. Thank you. Right, so after with a handful of questions left, well, 6 to be precise, the current scores are 20 Megabyte team 13, but in the lead with more than double is Toby Haydoke with 27. Okay, the chances of catching up are quite slim. But let's see how much of a trouncing he can give them. Here we go, Toby. In the 11th Doctor story, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, what do the initials ISA stand for?
I'm proving to not know very much about the new series. It's because I watch them and enjoy them, and I've got to go back and revisit them a couple of years later to do all any sort of research.
That makes sense, because obviously what the classic series, because we didn't have any Doctor Who in that such a long time, all we could watch is the classic series episodes over and over again.
Well, and also I don't like to be spoiled, so I don't find out too much in advance. So it's all new. Ah. But it's the Indians, is it the Indian Space, is it ISA, Indian Space, not going to be Academy, it's not going to be Association, Indian Space, Indian Space.
I wonder if he's letting us an opportunity to jump in.
Okay, well, I'll give you a point for Indian Space, but I'll have one guess at the A before I pass it over.
Indian Space Association.
It is incorrect, but I'll give you a point for the Indian Space. But anybody going to come in with the correct word?
Agency.
It is correct.
Oh!
Yeah, I knew that.
Reese has just chipped in with a point. Right.
That's a great point for our side.
The one and only contributions to tonight.
Right, next question is for the 20 Megabyte team. What is the name of Rory's immediate boss in the 11th Doctor story, The 11th Hour?
It
always goes quiet when I ask you lot a question. It always goes very quiet.
For what it's worth, I've known most of Toby's questions.
Okay, that helps. Anybody quickly? No, right, okay. Toby, do you know?
His immediate boss, is that the...
Yes.
That's the Nina Wadia character.
It is, yes.
Dr. Ramsden or something.
Ooh, it's so close. I'm going to give you a so close Ramsden, yes. So close. Close enough. And this next one's for you, which is, what Doctor Who story featured a character called Rosita Farisi?
Oh, is that the one with the big nonsense cyber monster at the end? The Next Doctor.
Is the correct answer. And the next question should come in very close to the end now. It's one question, well, three questions left. So here we go. 20 Megabyte team. Have I got that right? One, two, three. Yeah, three questions left. Are you ready? What was the last classic Doctor Who story to be filmed?
Ghostlight.
Correct. Well done. Toby, your last question.
Okay.
I don't feel too much pressure because you're quite a long way in the lead. And you'd have to do quite a lot of very naughty things to get those points taken away.
Wrong, yeah.
What colours were the five new paradigm Daleks in the 11th Doctor story, Victory of the Daleks?
Oh, gosh. There's a white one.
Yes.
A blue one.
Yes.
A yellow one.
Yes.
Very strangely, an orange one.
Yeah.
The
last one. You must get this right to get the points.
A red one!
Is the correct answer. I thought my scoreboard had crashed for a minute. And the final question of this week's special edition of You Won't Get This One, which can now be changed to You Will Get This One, judging by the amount of points that have been scored.
If you're Toby.
Is this is for you lot, by the way, 20 Megabyte team.
Okay. Yes, though.
And if you get it right, I'll double your points. It's double points, double or nothing with this question. What was the surname of the family that the Doctor and Rose get involved with in the 10th Doctor story, The Idiot's Lantern? Good grief.
I don't think it was
It's all on this.
Funny name.
Was it? Deary me.
Says the man with the answer in front of him.
Yeah.
No, I know I've got the answer. I've written them. Some of them wrong as well. Right, that's it. I've had enough of you lot. Toby.
I am talking. Was he called Eddie Connolly?
It is.
Oh my.
To complete the trouncing.
Billy's brother.
And the final scores here are 20 Megabyte team, 16 points, which is pretty good on a normal. Yeah. Quiz. Well, it's not really. We did a lot, about double the amount of questions we normally do on this show. But in the lead, and thank goodness for that, I was right, and my questions aren't that hard. Toby Haydo with 34.
Bye.
you.
So you are the oracle of Doctor Who knowledge, especially the fact that you helped me to correct some of these questions I got wrong. Let's go back and re-edit that.
Brush up on the new series a bit, though, don't I?
Yes, you do. Right then, since you've just come on, Reese, do you have anything you'd like to say to Toby? Apart from hello, which you've already done.
Oh, yeah, I'd already said that. But other than... thanks for coming on the show. It's exciting. It's a bit of a surprise too, because I was in Sydney and I read on Facebook that you're coming on. So I haven't really prepared any questions or anything, but no, I haven't thought of anything.
That's all right. I'm not
what a surprise. Don't worry. Toby hasn't thought of any questions to ask you either, Reese, so don't feel too bad.
Oh, I understand. He's a very busy man. I understand. Yeah. He didn't think of me.
Before we depart, Toby, have you got any theories about what Clara is? I suspect you actually know, don't you?
No, I don't know. I stay completely spoiler free because of my work on the DVDs. I have to get to know stories so well for the commentaries and things that I watch them. I pause them every minute to make a note about what I should say if there's a silence or what's a pertinent question to steer or blah blah blah. Blah. So I know them so well, I'm in danger of being too close to it all. So I've made a conscious decision. I mean, I get Doctor Who magazine, but I don't read any of the previews or anything because I want something to be new and fresh. So I know, and I don't go on spoiler sites or anything. I like as much as possible it to unfold. I mean, I'm not one of these loons who gets cross and goes, "You put an Ice Warrior on the cover, that's a spoiler, I hate you." You know, the stuff that appears on the papers and things like that, fine, it's fair enough, and anyone that complains about that. The Wraith of Time had a picture of a Cyberman to accompany episode 1 of The Invasion, and they don't appear till the end of episode 4. So, it was good enough in the 60s. So, that's a very long way answer of going, I've got no idea, because I don't know anything.
Anything else?
What?
Sorry. No, not you. The others. Yes. No, okay. Talking about spoilers and that, obviously Reese is another one that hates. Well, I don't like spoilers myself. I do try and avoid them, but Reese gets very upset, don't you, Reese?
Unlike Kirby, who goes out there and then tells me about them.
Yes.
No, I only post stuff which is officially.
Yes.
I posted a picture of
an Ice Warrior.
Of an Ice Warrior, because the BBC posted.
I don't
posted
care
a picture
if it
Ice
was
Warrior.
Officially released. It was a spoiler. I didn't want to know they were coming back.
Which
yes,
is what
we've been over this before.
Yes, but the thing is, though, when they do this, this big reveal of the Ice Warrior, there's always something more sort of important hidden that we don't find out until we watch it. So I wouldn't worry too much when they reveal stuff like that.
Disappointed by it.
While we have Toby here and Reese, Toby, with the current show, season or series?
He's already said season, but I've glossed over it.
Good man.
That may have been in my head. To differentiate, my heart would want it to be season 30, whatever, but because of the way the series has been delineated, I would generally, if I was writing something, I think I would refer to classic Doctor Who as seasons, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then new Doctor Who is series 1, 2, 3.
Correct.
Wow.
That's how I would do it, because I think that's the delineation that they have generally used with the BBC and things like that. But
because the boxes actually say series on them, don't they? Whereas, but
yeah, yes, they do.
I hate to back Kirby up on this, but he is correct.
I hate to be the one living in Australia right now.
So would I.
Oh, thanks for that, Adam.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
I know.
Yes, well, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, does it?
No. I don't know why you keep bringing it up, though. I mean, it's obviously
I didn't bring it up. It's Kirby.
It's obviously series.
It's obviously season.
Potato, potato.
It all got a bit... Am I wrong, then? All right.
Well, you're right. It's obviously series. But it doesn't matter.
He's right about the first 20 something or other, but he went a bit vague towards the end and got wrong.
So you're a seasoned man. I have sympathy with that as well. It's fine. Doctor's. I
mainly call it seasons because the show is a series, and it makes sense to have seasons in that series instead of series in that series.
Yeah,
I understand that. I understand that.
But I get confused when we've got this this 7A, 7B. Season 7A, season 7B?
Series.
You know, I'm saying it doesn't work, does it? Series 7A, series 7B, that does work for me.
How? It's exactly the same thing, just said incorrectly.
It's a series of episodes of a television serial.
I'm hungry now.
Humble opinion.
Yeah, it is 8
on, morning. Onomatopoeia, isn't it?
I need to have some breakfast.
I've missed my lunch, so that's great. I had breakfast about 7 hours ago. I've missed my lunch, and I won't get anything now for another 4 hours, so, apart from a cup of tea.
Oh, you poor
all for
thing.
The sake of this podcast. But I'll just have a quick hang on, where's me? I've got my laptop in front of me Mac screen, so I can't see what. Oh, there it is. I can't see me little loading launching icons at the bottom of the screen. I'm just going to have a look, see if there's anything interesting coming up on Doctor Who News that I don't have to report on when we record tomorrow night.
Cheek.
Oh, they're just going on about the Robots of Death and City of Death on UK TV, the Lucky So-and-Sos. Some audio.
It'd be ironic
coming out
if they made a huge announcement tomorrow after we record.
Yeah. Destiny of the Doctor, starring Janet Fielding with Tim Beckman, is coming out soon. This series is produced for Audio Go by Big Finish Productions. And then there's Curse of Peladon. Which is, I think, an audio version of the book.
Yeah, it's an audio book read by David Troughton.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. That's a song. By, yes. Plague of the Cybermen, which is another book. But this one's written by Dustin Richards and read by David Warner with Nicholas Briggs as the Cybermen. He has to get in there somewhere. Yes, DVD update, Green Death, special edition.
Oh, I'm on that.
Oh,
yeah,
are
it says here, actually. But for some reason it says Toby Hadoki. Oh, no, it's Toby Haddock, sorry. Oh, no, it's just spelt Hado. It's onomatopoeia, isn't it? And it says you spell one thing and it sounds the same as other. But I like the date that it says here, the original continuity announcement, Saturday 12th of May 1973, because that was, in fact, my 7th birthday.
Oh, crumbs.
Long, long time ago.
I don't remember it well. Oh, I did have a party. I remember it a little bit. I had a party that day. What do you mean? Oh, was it an Easter egg? Two Easter eggs, in fact, and they're both continuity announcements. One from 1994 and one from 1973.
Yeah, it's on the old DVD as well.
I'd be quite interested to see an old continuity announcer from 1973. Can't remember what they used to be like.
Well, you can find out.
Yeah. Dig out your old DVD.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
good. Buy the new one, too.
Well, I know about buying a new one.
Dig out his old DVDs from the 70s.
Toby, were you on the old Green Death DVD?
Was I on the old one? No, before my time. I was quite pleased when they weren't going to do a new commentary. They seemed to have stopped doing those on the revisitations. But John Kelly managed to persuade them to let us do 3 episodes to get some of the people who weren't on the making of. Mm-hmm. And then 2 people dropped out the day before. But it's still it's a nice commentary though. And it was nice because it was very nearly not going to have one. So at least we've brought it up to date with some new voices, which is always nice. I always think the DVD should be like as rigorous a historical document as possible, in that if our people are around, we get their testimony now, because they're not going to be around forever, and that's what the DVD should be doing. So
and so
John got some good lineups that for the 3 episodes that we did.
Are you allowed to reveal who those are?
I don't know. if it hasn't been revealed, I'd better not. because I don't know the rules.
fair enough. Best not incur the wrath of the BBC.
Tell me what else has been announced, and I can.
What, in regards to the Green Death?
In regards to DVDs.
Oh, DVDs. Oh, let's have a look. Before I go on, there was on Meridian tonight. Last night, in fact, I did post a YouTube clip of the interview with this lad who had a room full of Doctor Who memorabilia. So if you want to go to our YouTube channel, that's the 20 Megabyte Podcast YouTube channel, you'll be able to see that video along with my meeting of John Pertwee in 1996, amongst other things. But that was quite interesting. Also, there was a little piece on Peter Cushing, and they showed the slippers he wore during the Star Wars movie because he couldn't hack wearing the boots. There we go. Fundraising in memory for Caroline John. Ben Beavers, the son of late Caroline John, is fundraising for his mother's memory, and that's in support of Princess Alice Hospice. Right, let's see what else we've got. We've got a Doctor Who regeneration. BBC have finally confirmed that the regeneration set that has been listed on the internet sites such as BBC Shop and Amazon will indeed be released in June. Are you on that one?
I don't know because I don't know because that's something that I think has been commissioned outside of the normal range.
Ah.
So I don't know if it's got extras on it or not.
Okay.
I have been involved in some stuff for the 10th Planet, but I don't know if that 10th Planet will have that stuff or whether the 10th Planet's going to be released on its own.
I know they've said that the animated version of Episode 4 is being released early in that set, but other than that, I have no idea.
Right, there is no commentary for Episode 4.
Oh, a shame.
That's a shame.
Because Ice Warriors is Ice Warriors has been announced, hasn't it?
Yes.
There wasn't supposed to be a commentary for Episodes 2 and 3 of that, but we did some anyway. So, where we can. Same with 4 and 5 of The Reign of Terror. There wasn't supposed to be commentaries on those either because the animation weren't ready. But we did them anyway. And John just stretched the budget a bit and, we spent a bit of extra time that was our own time, really, to try and do that thing that I mentioned before of making it as rigorous a document as it possibly could be. So we dug about for Ice Warriors. We spent a day with Michael Trout and interviewed him, and he was very candid. And for the other episode of The Ice Warriors, I basically talked to John about it, and we begged, borrowed, and stole some archive interviews from people who were no longer with us. And then a couple of people who weren't available for the commentary, we went to their houses and interviewed them. So episode two is like a sort of magazine, but like what a radio show of remembering The Ice Warriors would be like with archive interviews and new interviews that I've sort of pulled together and present like a radio show. And so that was broken off and done at a separate time to when we did the commentary on the live action episodes. And that was just to try and fill all the gaps, really. But for some reason we weren't able to do that with 10th Planet 4. I'm not quite sure why that was. It might have been to do with studio time or something. But 10th Planet has been announced as coming out, hasn't it?
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm on the commentary for that for episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Excellent. No, it's funny, that has just jogged my memory because Robert, another of our co-presenters who was supposed to be here, didn't turn up, he was saying about the possibility of a great big batch of missing episodes possibly being returned or have been returned and a possible announcement near the anniversary of that actually happening. I don't suppose you might have heard anything, and even if you had, you wouldn't mention it, would you?
Well, I'll tell you, I've heard rumours that everybody else has heard. I also know people that, the restoration team guys, I socialise with occasionally, and they've not said anything to me, but then again, why should they? I've only heard the same that everyone, but I've heard everything. From, there's a couple of episodes here and there to all the episodes have come back. But I've heard, yeah. I've heard rumours like that, because I remember when I was a fan in the 80s, a fanzine, somebody wrote an article in fanzine saying they'd heard that all of season 3 and all of season 5 had come back, and that was in about 1989. So, I mean, I know that, because I'm on the Reign of Terror commentary, I know that there's this guy, Phil Morris, who has been searching, and I don't know if that is what's made people think, oh, the stuff. Didn't you? I think you did. He Return a Sky at Night or something for Paul Venezis, who was also on that commentary. But I was in the pub the other day with a load of fans, which is not something I normally do. People were all getting very excited, and I was going, really? Are you sure? But you know, there's always been rumours. But I don't know anything. But then again, why would I? Because I'm not really part of fandom. I come in and do the DVDs and then spend the rest of my time sitting lonelily in travel lodges and talking to drunk people and trying to amuse them.
And then winning massively Doctor Who quizzes on insignificant podcasts.
I've got plenty of time on my hands in travel lodges being lonely. I'd love it. The missing episodes are my most exciting. You know, the most fascinating aspect of all of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But if people are seeing the Tenth Planet thing as proof that an episode has come back, I think I can probably blow that out of the water, because I've seen some. I know the animation is being done, because I've seen some of the email exchanges about that. Because when we were preparing to do the DVD, it was definitely with, and episode 4 is going to be animated. Has that been announced? If that's been announced, you can use that. If it hasn't, you might not be able to. But
it's been announced. They've even put a couple of clips of it up on YouTube.
Yeah, we've seen the regeneration on YouTube.
Well, that was always the plan, and nobody ever at any point said, but we're going to pretend there's animation and we've actually found episode 4. And I think they would have told us. Maybe they wouldn't have done, but I know that it would be a bit odd to commission a very expensive animation as a cover for the return of a missing episode, in my opinion.
Yeah, yes. You're talking about spending presumably thousands of pounds to pull a big bluff on the fans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Which if they'd only pretended to commission animation, that would be a very good cover. But I know they aren't pretending to have commissioned animation, because I know that they're working on it, and I know when the deadline is because of when we had to get certain extras and things like that done. So unless they were doing it to pull the wool over our eyes as well, and there are people at the other end who are pretending to animate it when they're not, but that strikes me as a conspiracy theory too far.
Yeah.
Maybe so. But it would be nice to think that was actually the case. Yes. Well, as far as the rest of the news goes, talking of DVD releases, it's quite a long time ago that the last mention of DVD releases was actually on there. There was mention of Terror of the Zygons, Scream of the Shalka, yeah. Ice Warriors, as I've already mentioned, Green Death, Spearhead from Space Blu-ray, Mind of Evil, Inferno Special Edition, Visitation Special Edition. Yeah, so that's basically all the titles that have been confirmed this year.
Very good extras that I was watching this morning. It's got a whole disc worth of new extras done by a guy called Russell Minton, who's a proper TV director and done a very nice job on them. That's out imminently, I think. Inferno, I'm on. I've done a documentary where I reunite the Havoc team, and it's really fun and it really works. It's another Chris Chapman job, and Chris,
I'm looking forward to that.
It's a laugh. It's really nice. It really turned out nicely. Chris has also done the extras on the Spearhead Blu-ray that he ran by me, and I think are excellent, really nice. And you know, again, they could be broadcast. They're that good. Scream of the Shalka, I did the commentary when I was terribly, terribly ill, but so I don't remember much about it apart from being in pain. And but they're good. They're good, I think.
Yeah.
And was that it?
Yeah.
I do have some DVD news relating to the United States, if that's okay.
No, it isn't. Right, Reese, I'm going to go. Carry on.
It's apparently come to light that 19 different Doctor Who DVDs in Region 1 are being discontinued.
Great.
And once the back stock is sold, they will be sold out. The stories in question are The Rescue / The Romans, which, Toby, you did the commentaries on, if I remember correctly.
My first commentaries, they were.
The Web Planet, The Time Meddler, The Gunfighters, The Invasion, The War Games, Terror of the Autons, The Time Monster, Planet of the Spiders, Black Orchid, Time Flight, The Awakening, Frontios, Planet of Fire, The Mark of the Rani, The Two Doctors, Battlefield, Ghostlight, and The Curse of Fenric are all being discontinued.
What fantastic news. But I suspect what they'll do, they'll probably have them online or Netflix or something like that instead. So.
The website I'm reading notes that BBC Worldwide Americas did not rule out the possibility of them becoming available again in some fashion in the long-term future.
Mm. Post that on Facebook so that I can be sure
to get, you get, told, the, Matthew.
Get,
it
get
on
the ones that I don't have.
Yeah, I've got several on that list I don't have, so I'm fixing to go on a buying spree.
What would be really funny is everybody went out and bought these because they're going to sell out, and then the BBC changed their minds and kept them going.
Well, this is BBC Worldwide America here in the United States is in charge of the DVD production that's making the decisions, apparently.
But we'll see what happens, but yes, if you want it, get it now. I mean, talking about that Doctor Who DVDs, not the "That's What She Said" comment that I was waiting for someone to say. Never mind. Right then.
Too early, Toby, in the morning.
Toby, I'm pretty sure you have some plugging to do. I know you did a little bit of plugging earlier on, but I've got a funny feeling that there's a podcast you were going to plug.
I'm doing a thing called Toby Haydock's Who's Round. I was ill again. I've been ill a lot. Terrible. I'm a terribly sickly thing. I'm like a consumptive child in a Dickens novel. I was poorly over Christmas, and I was feeling very sorry for myself. And somebody from America, actually, tweeted, "My wish for the anniversary year is that Toby Haydock interviews everyone from Doctor Who." And I stupidly just thought, well, I quite like the sound of that. And I then sort of tweeted Big Finish and said, because I can't have stuff on my website, it's tiny. Said to Big Finish, would you be interested in doing that? And they went, yeah, sure. And so I got in touch with a few mates who I knew had mutual friends that had been involved with Doctor Who to get the ball rolling. And in fact, I live on the same street as somebody from Doctor Who, who's actually been touring with the play, so I'm going to interview him tomorrow morning. So I thought that would get me started and maybe, you know, the ball would get rolling. And I thought, well, I can't interview everyone from Doctor Who. What I'll do is I'll try and get an anecdote from each story. And part of the logic behind that was that I knew that people like Fraser Hines and Annika Wills and Louise Jameson I would be seeing at some point over the year, and I hope they would be kind enough to speak to me because we get on socially as well. But then as I was doing it, I was getting more excited by finding people who hadn't been interviewed before, and especially people who we'd missed from the DVDs. So with Day of the Daleks, I've got Valentine Palmer because the other guest cast generally feature on the DVD somewhere and he doesn't, and he got in touch and things like that. So come November, if I've got gaps in the track, that's when I'll leap on Fraser and go, tell me about the Macro.
You'll leap on Fraser?
make sure you do that after Chicago TARDIS.
I will. Morty. I might do it during. on stage.
I've been, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And I've been finding a lot of people haven't been interviewed before. And I started just talking about Doctor Who, but then when I did Kevin McNally, it seemed mad to talk to this fine actor just about Doctor Who. So we talked about all sorts of other stuff. So they've now become Doctor Who and career-long interviews. So people like John Gorham, Morris Hussain, tell us what it was like working in television for 30 years and things like that. And then they become a bit more important than just Doctor Who, though important though Doctor Who is. And if you just want to hear the Doctor Who stuff, just listen to the first 10 minutes. But I'll judge you. So they're now becoming, hopefully, this isn't too lofty sounding, they're becoming a sort of spoken word document of people that worked in television and theatre and film in this country over the past 50 years. And I've had some really big names do it, and I've had some very obscure people who people might not know who they are, but will, I think, be fascinated by once they tell their stories.
Yeah.
And as I say, I'm editing, I think, number 37, and I think the next episode out is about episode.
So is that the title of the podcast?
Toby Haydoke's Who's Round.
So if we go onto iTunes and search for that, it'll come up with Toby Haydoke's Who's Round.
Yeah, or Big Fish. I mean, it's part of the Big Fish.
I thought it was, yeah, because I remember you... it being mentioned somewhere on the Big Finish podcast.
Yeah, Big Finish put it up and do all the technical stuff, and they're brilliant. And I just send them the
edited thing.
Can I jump in with a quick question?
Mm.
Yes, you can.
Will the full interview with Waris Hussein be coming out? Because I know you commented in the interview, the version that has already come out, that there's a lot more material.
Yeah, there's about another 40 minutes. I have put that together, and I sent it to. Paul Sprague at Big Finish and said, just have this lying around so that if there's ever a gap, you know, where you're waiting on new ones to come in, you can use this. It's a sort of extra episode. And he went, what do you mean a gap? We've just put out episode 8 and you've just given me episode 29. so that will go out as an extra at some point, maybe if they, you know, they haven't got time to do a Big Finish podcast or something like that. Or maybe if there's a guy, I don't know, it will definitely be coming out, it's ready to go, as is the John Gorry one. And there's an actor that I've interviewed in one that's due in about 2 podcasts' time, who I also did an extra 40 minutes with. And they're the ones that don't, none of those really touch on Doctor Who, but they've got loads of fascinating stuff in them.
Excellent. And funny to say, though, about people you'd like to interview, I must admit, not that many episodes ago, before we hit our 200th, I'd love to get a chance at some point to interview a doctor on our podcast, because obviously we've done a few companions. We've done, thanks to you, we did Louise Jameson and Fraser Hines, and we had the writer of good grief, Mental Block. Hope he's not listening. He may not come on again.
Do you have
Andrew Smith?
Yeah.
Yes, we had Andrew Smith, and then we've also had the very lovely Daphne Ashbrook on not so long ago, but we haven't had any doctors yet, and I think that would be nice. Other podcasts, like the Happiness Patrol, have had doctors on their podcast.
I was
hard done by. Wrong? Is that
did I? I'm going to edit in the gap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I
was just going to say, I've been lucky enough to have interviewed both Terrence Dixon and Andrew Cartmell for a fanzine I write for called
Terrible Andrew Cartmell, yes. I got Andrew Cartmell on once as well. He more or less asked me if he could come on the show, which was a bit odd. It was very nice.
He's a very nice guy.
Yeah. He just didn't agree with my not liking Sylvester McCoy. I mean, thinking that Sylvester McCoy was my least favourite actor to have portrayed. I'll rephrase the statement. My least favourite portrayal of the Doctor apart from Peter Cushing's. But that doesn't count because it wasn't really the Doctor, it was a separate character. Yeah. Now, anyway, I'm rambling. So basically that's what I'd like to try and get to happen at some point. I did try and go on Colin Baker's website once, and I wrote him in a letter and he never got back to me. And that was a long time before he ended up in the jungle.
I'll be meeting him twice in the next 6 months.
We'll try and get him to come on the show.
I'll do what I can. I'll be meeting him in about a month's time at Timegate, and I'll be meeting him in November at Chicago TARDIS.
That'd be good. Thank you, Matthew. Anyway, I think we've sort of gone a lot longer than I intended to, because it's such fun. Thank you for coming on the show. What did you say it's friend of the show, the upgrade from friend of the show was, Toby? Sorry, I forgot.
Was honorary member?
Honorary member of the show, honorary president of the 20 Megabyte podcast, Mr. Toby Haydoke.
Honorary Lord President.
And thanks, everybody. Thanks for turning up, Reese. I do appreciate it, your efforts and your lifestyle of gallivanting. You have to try and occasionally fit a podcast in.
Oh, indeed. And I'm sorry I could only answer one question correctly.
Well, one's better than nothing. Robert and Mary didn't manage any, so that's a particularly... a good achievement of yours to have actually managed to get on the show and answer how many percent? It's probably about 2% of all the questions that Toby got right.
Oh well, I'll be known for something then.
Yes, indeed. And thank you, Matthew, for coming along.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're most welcome, Kirby. It's been a pleasure.
Really?
Well, it has. Toby, once again, thanks for coming on. I hope this won't be the last time we managed to drag you through the doors of the 20 Megabat podcast.
And, it's something to distract me from writing the various books I'm supposed to be writing. So.
And thank you for helping me out with some of the incorrect answers I had in my quiz book.
That's all.
Meanwhile, I now have to return to normal world because my wife was expecting me to help Isabella with her homework this afternoon, and the football starts in 40 minutes, so I'd like to combine the two. So until tomorrow night, Kirby and Rhys, and until the next time one of these podcasts come out, everybody else, thank you for listening to the 20 Megabyte Podcast Special Edition. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Bye-bye.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk, and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.